All right, open your Bible tonight to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, look if you would, starting at verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. It says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Now, this is talking about people resisting the Holy Ghost. Before we go any further in this thing, I want you to understand that this is one of the passages that shows the error of Calvinism. Because a Calvinist says that you cannot resist the will of God. Right here it says they're resisting the Holy Ghost. Amen? So that's just one of the many passages. Now that has nothing to do with the sermon, it's free though, okay? But when we're reading this passage, here you got Stephen, he's talking to these people, he's preaching to them, and he's talking about how they resist the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. And some have wondered today why the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be working in the church today as it did in the first century and at other times in church history. And really, we're going to be kind of looking into that tonight. And the reason why, the basic reason why, is because of the way the Holy Spirit is treated. Okay? The way people treat the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us it's possible to resist the Holy Spirit. It says that right here. It's also possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's possible to quench the Holy Spirit. And it is possible for the Holy Spirit to be blasphemed. Okay, that's what the Bible tells us. Now, one of these four is not possible today. One of the four I just said is not possible today. And the one that's not possible today is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now, there are some reasons, I'll tell you right off the bat, there's a couple of reasons why it's not possible today. One, the scripture is going to tell you that here in just a minute. The other reason it's not possible today is because it tells you that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it cannot be forgiven you. Amen? That's what it says. Okay, we're going to read it. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it cannot be forgiven. Question. Today, are all sins forgiven if you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Even blaspheming the Holy Spirit? This is where when we're studying our Bible, we have to be able to reconcile verses, okay? You can't say that you'd be forgiven of all your sins if all your sins can't be forgiven. So you have to reconcile those two passages. If that passage is for today, what happens if a Christian today blasphemes the Holy Spirit? How do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Well, in Matthew chapter 12, it tells us exactly how they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, I will tell you this. There are a lot of people today have opinions as to what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. I'll give you an example. In the Pentecostal movement, some of the holiness churches, they'll say, if you say anything against us for speaking in tongues, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's what they say. Really, what that is just a good way to get people to be quiet about what they're doing, okay? But the truth of the matter is but that's not what your Bible says. You see, it's easy to say, well, this is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Yes, but what does the Bible say the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is? It's not correcting somebody when they're doing wrong doctrinally when it comes to the Holy Spirit of God. That's not what it is. Well, you say, well, then what is blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Well, in Matthew chapter 12, look if you would, beginning at verse 22. It says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw." Now, it's talking about how Jesus healed this man. Verse 23, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then this kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that is gathered not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, it's telling you plainly there that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be forgiven you. Can you lose your salvation today? No, you can't. So the question again is what happens if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? I mean, that's, again, we got to reconcile scriptures. Now, based on this scripture, there are many Christians today that believe that you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit if you've committed what they call the unpardonable sin. If you really want to know what the unpardonable sin is today, you know what it is? It's rejecting Jesus Christ. That's the unpardonable sin. Okay, then you say, well, then what is this then? Well, there are people that say if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit after you're saved, then you'll lose your salvation. And we certainly know that's not true. But if you look closer at what's going on here, I want you to notice some words it says. Look if you would at verse 32. Let's read. Now, every word is important in your Bible. It says, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, that's a strange thing. He'd say that. He says, neither in this world or the world to come. That's two worlds. That's two different time periods. And being as how it was Jesus standing there physically before them, and he said this, it'll not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. Now, keep this in mind. He's standing there right before him, and that's what he says. Now, keeping that in mind, turn if you would over to Mark chapter 3, and I'll show you something else. What we're trying to do is figure out what in the world is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And when can it not be forgiven? Is it today? When is it that it can't be forgiven? Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Look if you went at verse 29. Talking about the same thing that's happened here. It says, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Now, picture this. Jesus Christ is right there in front of those people, physically. Amen? And they looked right at him when he healed that fella and said, he hath an unclean spirit. He's standing there physically. Jesus said that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven you in this world, or the world to come. Now what are this world and the world to come have in common here, being as how they said that he hath an unclean spirit? Jesus Christ is present physically on this earth. When he said that, when they said he hath an unclean spirit, he was standing there physically on this earth. Is Jesus Christ physically on this earth today? No, he was then though. And they said he hath an unclean spirit. And Jesus says he'll not be forgiven you neither in this world, him physically here, first advent, or the world to come when he comes back the second time. Okay? So when it comes to blaspheming the Holy Spirit, what that's telling you is during the time that Jesus was here, blaspheming the Holy Spirit would have been an unpardonable sin. When Jesus Christ comes back the second time, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is going to be an unpardonable sin, because you'll be able to say that he did something physically while he's on this earth by the devil. That's what they said. Okay, you say, well, does that mean that there would be certain sins that can't be forgiven when Christ comes back? According to this, yes, but that's not for today. Today, all your sins are forgiven. Today, you cannot lose your salvation. You can't. There is no unpardonable sin for the believer today, because once you receive Jesus Christ, all your sins were forgiven forever. Amen? So they said here, because he hath an unclean spirit, he says that will not be forgiven neither in this world or the world to come. So today, you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit, not by the definition that this Bible gives you of what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. It's impossible to today, okay? However, that does not mean that we do not mistreat the Holy Spirit. That does not mean that lost people don't mistreat the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that Christians don't mistreat the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is we don't do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do a lot of the time. Amen? And when we don't do that, when we don't yield to the Holy Spirit, then we're yielding to our flesh. And that's where the problem comes in. So the first thing that they've been talking about here is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next thing that the Bible talks about is resisting the Holy Spirit, and that's back in our text. So turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Lots of things we do to the Holy Spirit we shouldn't do. Blaspheming is not one of them that we can do today, but we can certainly resist the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen here says in verse 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Now, Stephen here, he's preaching to the Jewish people here, and his message was delivered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this message, Stephen tells these people that they resist the Holy Spirit. In other words, they hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. They know what the Holy Spirit wants them to do, but they choose not to obey the Holy Spirit. They are resisting him. And then Stephen says that their fathers did the exact same thing. When they did things like question the authority of Moses, when Moses was leading the children of Israel, and all of a sudden a few of them wanted Korah to be their leader. That's resisting the Holy Spirit. Or how about when the children of Israel made the golden calf after being delivered out of Egypt? Resisting the Holy Spirit. And so Stephen tells his listeners here in verse 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." These people were stiff-necked. These people were stubborn. They were headstrong. They were uncircumcised in heart. Now, today, that would mean that they're unsaved, if they're uncircumcised. Remember, as Christians, we're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. When we're placed in Christ, when we're placed in Christ and Christ is placed in us. And so these people, he said, uncircumcised in heart and ears, they were outwardly religious, inwardly they were unchanged. And look how these people reacted when Stephen was preaching this message. Now keep this in mind, so Stephen's preaching to them, and he says, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit just like your fathers did." And then, right after he says that, you're going to read to where they continue to resist the Holy Spirit and see exactly how they reacted. Look, if you would, at verse 57. It says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." So the Holy Spirit here is convicting these people with the Word of God being preached. And rather than yielding to the Holy Spirit and getting right with God, these people got mad at the preacher. Can you imagine that? They got mad at the preacher and cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. I can just almost imagine this, you know, hear Stephen preaching and they put their fingers in their ears and go, "La, la, 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 I don't want to listen." That's what they did. When the Holy Spirit's convicting them, they're like, "I don't want to hear that." They get mad at the preacher. They rush at him. They get angry. Why? The Holy Spirit's telling them a message. The Holy Spirit is convicting them, and they don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, so they're resisting the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what these people are doing. And then the Bible says they ran upon him with one accord and they stoned Stephen. Now, many people in churches today, when the Word of God is being preached, they have somewhat of the same reaction. Now, I haven't seen too many people get rushed by the crowd and get stoned. But I will say that there are some that hear the message, they get convicted by the Holy Spirit, and then they get mad at the preacher, just like those people there in Acts chapter 7 did. They'll feel that conviction when they come to church, and they feel like the preacher's preaching to them, when in really it's the scriptures that's preaching to them, and then they leave and say, I don't like the way that preacher preaches. That preacher's preaching to me. Bunch of hypocrites. You know what that is? That's resisting the Holy Spirit. Resisting the Holy Spirit. Some hear the message and get convicted by the Holy Spirit and then do nothing about it. They sit there and say amen, praise the Lord, sing songs, hear the preaching, and then after the invitation, they don't come forward, they don't get right, and they just go home and forget about the whole message. You know what that's called? Resisting the Holy Spirit. Anytime the Holy Spirit moves within you to get you to do something and you don't do it, whether the Holy Spirit's moving in you to get you to quit doing something that you're doing, whether he's moving in you to get you to do something you're not doing, or whether maybe he's trying to get you to get right when you're not right with God, and you say no to the Holy Spirit, you are resisting the Holy Spirit of God. And when you're resisting the Holy Spirit of God, there's not going to be a whole lot of power in your life. And when the church starts to resist the Holy Spirit of God, there's not going to be a lot of power in that church either. God never rewards disobedience, folks. He's not going to reward people with power. He's not going to reward people with spiritual growth when people are resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, you've got to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to yield to the Holy Spirit of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Are we not to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Certainly we are. You can't do that while resisting him. You can't. Because if you're resisting the Holy Spirit of God, then you are yielding to your flesh, and God is never going to reward that, ever. And so these people were resisting the Holy Spirit, and those Christians who refuse to get right with God today are stiff-necked, and they resist the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit was clearly revealed in God's Word, and if we're going to ever have much power, then we need to yield to him and quit being stiff-necked like a lot of people are. Now, I will tell you this, there are lost people that resist the Holy Spirit as well. I'll give you an example. The Bible says the Holy Spirit reproves this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So let's say a lost person comes in here and he hears the gospel being preached. And part of that gospel is that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen, there's nobody on this earth that can deny that. Not and be honest with himself. Nobody can deny that. Everybody sitting in this room can name a time that they sinned at least once. Amen? I mean, everybody can. And so when you start to preach the gospel to somebody that's lost, he can too. Now, he may tell you some stuff that's not true. He may tell you that he's never sinned, but he knows better deep down. He knows he has. I mean, you're not telling him something he doesn't already know. And so all of a sudden, when a lost person comes in here and they hear the gospel, he hears the gospel preached, and then that the reproving of sin, righteousness, and judgment that the Holy Spirit of God does, it shows him, yes, you really are a sinner. Yes, there is righteousness, but not yours. It has to be the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and there's judgment coming. When that person gets up and says, not today, maybe next week, maybe when I feel like I could live it, or I don't believe in that stuff, stop preaching to me. You know what that's called? That's called resisting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved within that person for them to get saved, and they rejected it. That's the reason, folks, nobody's going to be held without excuse on Judgment Day. It says the Holy Spirit was sent into this world to reprove sin, righteousness, and judgment. And therefore, nobody's going to have an excuse. People refuse and resist the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a danger involved in that. Because for the unbeliever who continually resists the reproof of the Holy Spirit, the more you resist, the easier it becomes to resist. The more you say no, the easier it becomes. That's the reason you don't see a whole lot of people getting saved in their later years. Most people who get saved in their younger years. Why? Because those who are older have resisted and resisted and resisted, and they're stiff-necked. And they become hard-hearted more and more and more. Now, I'm thankful that anybody can get saved. It doesn't matter what age. But I'm telling you, the more you resist the Holy Spirit, the easier it is to say no. In Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's a time coming, folks, that when a person passes away, you don't get a second chance. We ought not resist the Holy Spirit. A person that's not saved should not resist the Holy Spirit. You're taking a chance if you're resisting him. A person that is saved should not resist the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? But it is possible. It is possible to resist him. So we've seen blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We've seen resisting the Holy Spirit. Next thing the Bible talks about is grieving the Holy Spirit. Turn, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look up this, the grieving of the Holy Spirit, it seems that resisting the Holy Spirit could be done by anybody. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit can be done by anybody. But it would seem that grieving the Holy Spirit could only be done by a saved person, according to the Scriptures. Okay? If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking to saved people here. And he says this in verse 25. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, when you look there at Ephesians chapter 4, one of the sad things is Paul has to tell believers not to have corrupt communication, not to steal, not to lie, not to sin when you get angry. Now, you would think that Christians, I mean, I understand that when people get angry, they do some things they ought not do, but that shouldn't be that way. But isn't it something that Christians have to be told not to steal? Isn't that something? Christians have to be told not to lie. Christians have to be told not to let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. May I tell you this morning that corrupt communication is more than just saying bad words. If you'll notice there, when it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth," look what it says after that. "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know what that's telling you? That if you're saying something that isn't edifying other believers, whether it's bad words or not, that's corrupt communication. If you're saying something that's not ministering grace to the hearers, that's corrupt communication. When you're murmuring, that's corrupt communication. When you're talking bad about somebody behind their back, that's corrupt communication. I hate to say sling mud, but when you say things that bring discredit upon somebody else, that's corrupt communication. When you tell other people about things that other people have no business knowing about somebody else, that's corrupt communication. Yes, it can include cuss words. But according to that verse 29 right there, it's more than just that. It's anything that does not edify. It's anything that does not minister grace to the hearers. That's corrupt communication. And isn't it something that Christians have to be told not to speak like that? I mean, you'd think we'd get that. But here they had to be told. But what I want you to notice here is right there, verse 30, after mentioning all these things, he says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Now listen, "grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which ye are sealed until the day of redemption." He's talking to saved people, because unsaved people aren't sealed to the day of redemption. So when you read it there, it makes it seem like only saved people can grieve the Holy Spirit of God in this sense. You say, well, how can he be grieved when we do those things that are mentioned here? When we do things like lie, when we do things like getting angry and sinning and doing something we shouldn't do, when we give place to the devil, when we steal. You say, Christians steal? Yes. They steal hours at work. If they're not working and they're on the clock, that's called stealing hours. You know, when all of a sudden you decide that you're going to maybe move a couple of numbers on tax during tax season, that's called stealing. In fact, you say, who am I stealing from? Everybody else in this room, technically. Amen? I mean, that's what it is. But when we do those things, when we give place to the devil, when we let corrupt communication come out of our mouth, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God within us. Why is that? Think about this, folks. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. He goes everywhere you're at. Everywhere you go, he's right there with you. You know, and Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, one of the reasons why? Because he's inside of you. Everywhere you go, he's there. Amen? Now think about this. If you go over and you start talking bad about somebody, or let's say you let a cuss word go out, or you start to murmur, or you start to complain, or you start to backbite, you start to do all those things, you realize Jesus is right there listening to the whole thing. How do you think it makes him feel? It grieves him because he knows that you have the Holy Spirit of God within you and you know to do right, but you're not doing it. It grieves him. Think about if your son or your daughter or your grandfather or your granddaughter or your grandson were all of a sudden just to do something. Let's say you take him out and it's just you and him and he does something that is absolutely horrible. And you're standing right there, he does it anyway. How would you feel about that? You think it'd grieve you? Probably make you mad, but it'd probably grieve you too. And you're like, I can't believe he'd do something like that. I wonder how that's Jesus. If sometimes he says, I can't believe that Bob Crowder would do something like that. I can't believe he'd say such a thing. I can't believe he'd steal that thing like that. I can't believe that he would get angry and actually do something like that. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, anytime that you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit and you're producing those other things, the fruit of the flesh, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Because listen, every day as Christians, we have a choice. We can either yield to the Spirit and do what the Spirit wants to do and produce spiritual fruit, or we yield to the flesh and we start to have the fruits of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. And every time that we don't do what the Lord wants us to do, what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Now I'll tell you something, folks. I want you to think about this. Think about yourselves every single day. Every single day. And ask yourself, am I grieving the Lord in my life and the things I say and the things I do? How does the Lord feel about it? You know, years ago, one of the things I was told was this, is, you know, rather than saying, is this okay if I do this or if it's okay if I do that, don't ask your pastor if it's okay if you go to this place or if you watch this or if you listen. Don't ask me. Because what I'm going to tell you is this. How would the Lord feel about it? You say, well, yes, but I could witness to so many people if I go in that bar. Uh-huh. How do you think the Lord's going to feel about it? You don't have to worry about how I feel about it. How does the Lord feel about it? Well, can I listen to this? Beats me. How does the Lord feel about it? You see, that's a question you have to answer. Why? He's right there. I always wondered if the things that we do, would we do those same things if he was actually standing right there physically with us? We'd say, oh no, he's inside you. What's the difference? Amen? And if you think it would grieve him if he was standing right here physically, what makes you think it wouldn't grieve him if you went and did it with him inside you? It's going to grieve him either way. Amen? That's the reason you don't have to ask me. You just need to ask yourself, how will the Lord feel about it? How's the Lord feel about this movie I'm watching? How's the Lord feel about this music I'm listening to? How's the Lord feel about this place I'm going to? Don't ask me. I'm not going to sit there and tell you. I'm not the one judging you. Amen? But there's one greater than me that's going to judge you one of these days. And not only he lets you know how he feels about it on the inside now, but he's going to let you know how he felt about it on Judgment Day too. Judgment Day is coming. So Paul says here that we are not to lie, not to sin when we get angry, not to steal, not to allow corrupt communication come out of our mouth, because it's things like this that grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, last thing that Paul talks about here, when it comes to what we can do to the Holy Spirit today or how we treat the Holy Spirit, that is possible for us to do today, and that is, it is possible for us to quench the Holly Spirit. Turn if you would over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, of all the ones, I think that, I mean, we could look at each one of these, for the exception of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, we could look at each one of these through resisting of the Holy Spirit, grieving of the Holy Spirit, and quenching the Holy Spirit. I don't know which one that we do the most. I really don't. I think we do all of them quite a bit. But it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit." Now, the word quench means to extinguish, to put out, like a fire. In other words, you pour something on fire, it quenches it. To suppress or subdue. You know, I think about a time that a young lady was wanting to serve the Lord, and she went out of her way to volunteer to do things to help out with the youth. She wanted to help with the altar calls. She wanted to help lead people to the Lord. She wanted to start growing as a Christian, and she had begun to start growing as a Christian. But the devil got into her family, and the next thing you know, the father stopped bringing this young lady to church. You know what that's called? That's called quenching the Holy Spirit. You see, this person was on fire for the Lord. This person was just now starting to get on fire for the Lord. And somebody just comes along, and it's like they take a big wet blanket and just throw it over top of it. And it quenches. It quenches that fire. I remember one time that there was a young man, and this young man would go out of his way to do things in the church. I mean, he would volunteer to do everything. And so I asked him one day, we were sitting there talking, and I said, boy, you're volunteering for everything. He goes, yeah, I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to do something for the Lord. I just want to do something for the Lord. About that time, another Christian walks by, older gentleman. And he hears what that young man says. And here's what he says. He goes, yeah, I used to be like you, fired up, zealous. But then I wisened up and figured out that I was doing all the work and nobody else was doing anything. You know what that's called? That's called quenching the Holy Spirit. And again, it's taking a big wet blanket. Don't you know that's what the devil wants? Devil doesn't want people to be on fire for the Lord. Devil doesn't want people to be wanting to do something for the Lord. You know what he wants? He wants to quench that fire. He wants to put it out right now before it gets out of control. That's what the devil wants. But the devil will use you to quench somebody else's fire if you're not careful. He'll use you. Listen, when you hear somebody that's fired up for the Lord, you see somebody's fired up, encourage that person. Encourage them to keep on serving the Lord. Encourage them to stay busy for God. Encourage them to read their Bible. Encourage them to pray. Encourage them any way that you can. But don't let the devil use you to quench that. That's what it says here, quench not the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we've been guilty of that from time to time. You know, sometimes you say, well, what would drive a person to say something like that? Jealousy. Why? That young person's on fire and that older person wasn't. He probably remembers how it was when he was on fire for the Lord, and he's probably feeling guilty that he wasn't anymore. So you know what he did? He's like, well, I'll just make sure he doesn't serve the Lord either. Mm-hmm. I'd say the devil got victory there. Amen? Quenching the Holy Spirit. We ask ourselves, why does it seem that the Holy Spirit is not working in the church today like he once was back when the church first got started? We ask ourselves, why is it today that the average Christian doesn't seem to have the power of God in his life, and he doesn't have the power of God to go out and do things for the Lord? Why are we not seeing more Christians on fire for the Lord today like they were back then? I mean, if you think about it, you go back in the time of the early church, you see people that had to die for their faith a lot, almost every day. But we don't see that here in the United States too much. We don't see the persecution here like it was then. But isn't it something that we don't have the persecution in the United States today, but yet we still have Christians that won't go out and do anything for the Lord? That Christians aren't willing to stick their neck out for the Lord because they're afraid of how somebody's gonna feel about it? These Christians back in those days, they weren't worried about how other people are gonna feel about it necessarily. They were more worried about, well, they might die for their faith. But they still went out and served the Lord. Amen? Not all of them. I mean, there were some that worried about men more than what God felt. But when you're looking at the disciples, you're looking at those Christians back then, listen, those people would have been put to death in most cases for sharing their faith with somebody else. You say, how come the Holy Spirit isn't moving in people like that today? Because I think today that people are resisting the Holy Spirit probably more than they've ever resisted him before. I think today that there are Christians today, just by the way they live, are grieving the Holy Spirit every day. Grieving the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Christians here. They're born again. That should be on fire for the Lord, but they're not. They're doing things to grieve the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, I don't even think they care. I don't even think they care. But then also you have those people that quench the Holy Spirit too. There are some Christians that get on fire for the Lord, but it seems like the devil's always got somebody there to try to put that fire out. You know what we are to be? We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we are to be. We're not supposed to resist him. We're not supposed to quench him. We're not supposed to do those things. So tonight, I'm going to ask you, what have you been doing with the Holy Spirit of God? What have you been doing with him? Think about that.